is convening an emergency summit to address this urgent issue. Saturday, September the 27th, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, sharp at the historic New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, 1313 New York Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C. Speakers include Dr. Julian Malveaux, Sonia Pruitt, Kimone Freeman, Denise Rolock Barnes, and more. That's Saturday, September the 27th, 1 p.m. sharp at the historic New York Avenue Presbyterian Church.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. On Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. with all of my stuff, with all of my, madness on this show. I really enjoy doing it. And I really enjoy interacting with my callers and with the people that email me, especially the ones that disagree with me, especially the emails I get. You're wrong, Garland. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're a madman. Those are my favorite. We should be able to rebut those things. People should be able to say things that you don't like and you don't agree with. And then you should be able to rebut and say, I disagree with it. And that's why. And that's something I promote. I believe that, you know, we need to make each other uncomfortable with our conversations. We need to say something that make you say something to me, makes me uncomfortable, and I can think about it and listen to it, and then I can respond to it. But we need to allow people to say the things that they believe in. And if you don't like it, you can, you know, block somebody on online. You can change the channel, whatever you want. You don't have to listen to it. But I don't believe in shutting people down. I remember I got a caller one week and he says, I don't like the things you're saying, Garland. You shouldn't be saying that on WPFW. And I said, well, that's the difference between me and you. I don't agree with what you're saying, but I think you should be able to say it. It's specifically because I don't agree with it. I don't believe in a bunch of people sitting around with their arms around each other, telling each other how right they are. That's called groupthink, and that goes bad. And you end up with a bunch of people who are just a brainwashed cult. And as a person now who is an independent, I'm a believer that the Republicans and the Democrats are just two brainwashed cults. They are literally mirrors of each other and can't even see it. And when I was a Democrat, I couldn't see it. When other people, I've seen, heard people get out of the parties and say, you know, I've come to realize when I was in whatever, the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, I didn't realize I was kind of being had. Yeah, and once you get out of it, you can see it. But by the same token, if you believe that you should be a Democrat or a Republican or a whatever party, socialist party, this party, that party, I 100% support your right and would protect your right to be in that party and to be in it. So anyway, and I tell you, so let me say this before I get going, or am I already going? I don't know. Before I get going doesn't really work. When I was a kid, I had a music teacher, you know, first grade, my mom always said, me and all my sisters, when you get in first grade, you got to start taking music lessons. You must take an instrument, right? And I started with the clarinet, and my music teacher, I would say something, whatever I'm playing. And this was what he would always say. I was a little kid, it burned me up. He'd go, okay, while you're resting, little man, play blah, 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 blah. And I used to always think, why does he say, while I'm resting? I can't do it while I'm resting. But that was just a word that he used anyway, while you're resting. Anyway, let me go forward when we talk about censorship. Why do I bring that up right now? A couple of things. Number one, Jimmy Kimmel, Charlie Kirk died. I talked about that. I'm not going to go on and on about that. I oppose violence against anyone. I oppose excusing violence against anyone, even those that I disagree with strongly. And when it comes to Charlie Kirk, he said most everything that I disagree with. If he might have said something I agreed with, but it wasn't much. Trust me, I disagreed with the guy. But I'm not going to celebrate the death of anyone, much less somebody I agree with or disagree with. Right. I disagree strongly with so many of the things, but you'll never. Yay, this person died, because it starts with, yay, somebody on the other team died. And then somebody on your team gets killed and they say, yeah. Then 10 people on the other team get killed. And yay. Then 10 people on your team get killed. And it's yay. And now you've got people celebrating the death of people because they ain't on their team and they disagree with it. You're never going to see me do that. I don't believe in the death penalty. Okay, if somebody murdered 5 people and they're convicted of it, what do you think should happen to them, Garland? I believe in the death penalty. What I believe should happen is, I believe that they're convicted, then they should get life without parole. Because who knows? Maybe 10 years from now, you'll find out that they actually didn't do it. At least you could let them out. If you kill them, you can't. Right. Maybe the person, while they're in jail, will have a change of heart and they'll write a book about what a terrible thing they did and how nobody could do it again, should do it again. It'll help humanity. I don't know. I don't believe in killing people, even if they did terrible things or said terrible things. And so I'm never going to celebrate, yay, Charlie Kirk died, or yay, this person died. Right. Just not me. I don't believe in it. But I understand that there are people who will. And that's what makes this country, unfortunately, in my opinion, as unstable as it is. But let us continue. So afterwards, what happens? Jimmy Kimmel says some things that I'll put it like this. In my opinion, they were distasteful about the whole death. It was distasteful. Fair enough. You can say it was distasteful. And he gets fired. I oppose that. You know, comedians, my favorite comedians, go back would be Richard Pryor and George Carlin. And Pryor and Carlin said a lot. They used language that people didn't agree with. They attacked religion. They attacked social issues from race and sex, you name it, where if you wasn't supposed to go there, that's where they went. And I think that is a positive thing. You should be able to listen to that. You should be able to think about it. You should be able to say, that's good, that's terrible. I remember I heard Richard Pryor talk about growing up and like his whoever raised him, his parents, whatever, that at one point he was in a brothel, and sounds like he had a very difficult childhood, and that was reflected in his comedy. And you know what? A lot of people have difficult childhoods, and it's reflected in their comedy or things that happen when they grow up. That's normal. And I wanted to hear and see that. And I don't think none of that should be censored. And Jimmy Kimmel. Okay, look, anybody that don't like what Jimmy Kimmel says, don't have to watch the show. They can just say, I find that distasteful. I'll never watch the show again. You know what? That's fine with me. It's your TV. You're paying for cable, or hopefully you're not paying for it, whatever. But you got a right to say, I will watch it. I don't want. I find that funny. I find that distasteful. That's up to you. You can find it funny. I can find it distasteful. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, the pressure coming from the government, right? You get pressure coming from the government to censor this person. I'm going to 100% disagree with it because of where it starts. Let me go backwards a little bit. I didn't just wake up that way. I didn't just suddenly say, oh, they're going after a guy who the Democrats like. I've got to stand up for him. That censorship. I felt that way when it was controversial, when it wasn't. Let me give you an example. During COVID, I believe people, you hear what I'm saying, should question everything. So during COVID, when they said, you got to stand 6 feet apart. And people said this, why? Why do you have to stand 6 feet apart? Why are they telling us? Is there some scientific reason? We'd like to know. And people said, how dare you ask that? You're killing people. And my opinion was, well, I mean, they got a right to ask. Come on, government. You're telling people to stand 6 feet apart. They could at least say, why? Is it a harm? People should always be able to question government about everything. And don't tell me I'm killing people because I asked the government a question about policy. And eventually it came out. Do you know why they came up with that 6 feet apart? We got to stand 6 feet apart. You know why they came up with that? Neither do they. Ultimately, what came out was this. They just kind of picked a number that sounded good and they went with 6 feet. There was no scientific reason for the government to say we got to stand 6 feet apart. You may look at it and say, well, 6 feet seems like a good number to me. And then it would have been a suggestion. Hey, seems like a good number. But to say, hey, you got to stand 6 feet apart. And when somebody says, why? Hey, you're questioning the science. It was wrong. It wasn't science. It was an arbitrary number that was chosen by people that said, 6 feet's a good number. What about 7? I don't know. 5? Yeah, we're going with 6. So when people legitimately ask why 6, they had a right to an answer. We're paying for this government. This is our tax money. We have a right to say. And people were like, well, Garland, here you are, some conspiracy theorist. You're anti-science. And I was like, no, this is about government policy. I do not believe there is a government policy that people should be able to not ask about. And what would happen? Somebody would go online and they'd say, you know, I'm not so sure about the 6 feet. Whoa, you better not do that on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, TikTok. you are going to get censored for asking or saying, I oppose that. I don't think we should have to stand 6 feet apart. My position was this. Whether people like it or not, you should be able to say it. And ultimately, when we found out the government arbitrarily picked the 6 foot number and there was zero science behind it, it supported my argument. Not that you should or shouldn't stand 6 feet apart, but that people had a right to ask it. And the answer, if we'd have gotten an honest answer and we said, why 6 feet? They'd have said, it's just a number we picked up. We don't really know. And people would then have a right to say, well, that doesn't make much sense to me. We don't have anything. We don't have a real number. You're telling us 6 feet. It could be 26 for all we know. Could be the safe number. There could be no safe number. Don't you think we ought to try to look and figure this out instead of just coming up with the number and then literally punishing people because they ask you about the number? When they said it's mandated that you wear this or get a shot or whatever, my position was, we should be able to ask why. I don't believe in censorship. I don't believe that if somebody says why to the government about anything, that we should say, oh, you're getting thrown off of Twitter. Do you realize? Were you paying attention? That during COVID, if somebody questioned, what was this? Government policy. If somebody said, I got a question about government policy. What government policy? The mandate that everybody has to get the jab. Now, you may agree and think everybody should have got the jab. You may disagree. No, I don't think anybody should have got the jab. That's up to you. I'm fine with that. I respect your position. I'm not disrespecting your position. Here's my point. People should have been able to ask the question. They shouldn't have got censored. They shouldn't have got thrown off of YouTube and Facebook and everything else. A story. During COVID, I was thought, you know, I'm big on health stuff, right? And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about censorship. I'm big on health stuff, right? I'm big on you should exercise. You should eat right. You should, you know, I do a lot of herbal things, all kind of herbs. And I drink rosemary tea every day. And I take ginseng and all these various things, vitamin D, all these things that I do to try to maintain a youthful feeling, shall we say. And I do all of that. So during COVID, I remember thinking, hey, I got a good idea. I'll give people something positive. People are afraid. What can I do? You know, the old saying, the cure for fear is action. I'll give people. So I did a show and I went on the National Institute of Health and I found this study. And the study said, hey, if you exercise really, really strong, you know, heavy, it decreases the chances of you dying from COVID by 66%, of catching COVID by like 25%, of going to the hospital by like 70%, you know, really high numbers. And I thought, well, that's worth it. Heavy exercise will help people. I know. I'll do a show about that. So I did a show and I said, look, you know, I'm not talking about the jab. That's up to you. Everything is these individual, your individual decisions. I'm not going to try to tell you what to do. It's your life. However, guess what I found? This is a story from the National Institute of Health. And I did a show on that, and I read from this is the government website, which normally I wouldn't trust, but it looked like a good study to me. Went all through it. Yeah, these are the numbers, so exercise. And then I went on to say, look, it's not just COVID. It's going to lower your chances of heart attack, of stroke, of blah, COPD, of this and that. It's going to make you improve your quality of life. Exercise is something you need to do. And did you know that amongst people, you know, whether you eat wrong, smoke, all of these terrible things you could do, there's a decider, and that is exercise. Those who exercise, like heavy exercise, increase the longevity of their life. That one deciding factor, more than what you eat, how much you exercise. Exercise, you're likely to live longer, unless you get, you know, hit by a bus while you're jogging or something. I can see that could be a problem. But other than that, you get my picture. I can't account for anomalies. Here's my point. Somebody called the station and complained. I just did. And you, from a government study that was published that said, you exercise, you got a better chance of surviving COVID. Somebody called the station and complained. And their argument was, well, Garland said all of that, it's gonna make people not wanna take the shot. My position was it didn't have nothing to do with the shot. And it ain't even about COVID. If you exercise, you'll live longer and you'll be healthier and you'll have a better quality of life. But people wanted to censor and, oh, Garland should be thrown. Literally said, oh, he shouldn't be allowed to say that. I shouldn't be allowed to say you should exercise more. I should say it whether COVID was around or not. But again, this mentality of censorship, he shouldn't be able to say something. I disagree with that. And Jimmy Kimmel said something that could be considered tasteless about a person who was recently killed. If you don't like it, you can change the channel. You don't have to watch the Jimmy Kimmel show. But because of money and power and politics, Jimmy Kimmel was, I'm not even a fan of Jimmy Kimmel. I'm not a fan of any of those late night shows. They're nothing, but in my opinion, all of them are puppets for the man. If the government says we're going to invade another country, they're going to be behind it. If the government says we're going to do something, you should all do this, whatever the government says. You've been watching Hollywood and all you get is propaganda out of Hollywood all the time. And I'm sick of propaganda, so I don't watch that propaganda crap. But even then, I don't believe in censoring a propagandist, who I see all of them as. So I left mainstream media because I couldn't be a propagandist. And that's unfortunately the direction that we've been going for years. And what I was saying was, even during COVID and back then, I remember a Ukraine war started. And one of the things that I did was I kept saying, you know, I'm not with the United States on this one. We're dead wrong. And if you know the history of that, we're supporting literal Nazis in Ukraine. These people are literal goose-stepping, Hitler-supporting Nazis and proud of it. And I don't believe in supporting Nazis. Okay, so of course, all these people were angry about that. Well, I shared one article. Let me see if I can find it. This is an article. Let me tell you how when I was censored on YouTube, on a bunch of platforms. I got for a bunch of this. So I shared this article from the NBC News. German TV shows Nazi symbols on helmets of Ukraine soldiers. In a ZDF report on the fragile ceasefire in eastern Ukraine, images were shown of soldiers wearing combat helmets with SS insignias and swastikas. And if you know anything about Ukraine, it's pretty hard to find a soldier that don't have the Nazi memorabilia and iconography all over them, because it's a friggin' Nazi. The leadership of that country is about as Nazi as you get. Literal Nazis, Hitler worshiping. They have a song, Ukraine is our mother and Bandera is our father. Stepan Bandera was a Nazi collaborator who was involved in the Holocaust of Jews and hundreds of 100,000 Poles. The United States has deliberately and intentionally funded, fortified, and empowered the Nazi elements in Ukraine intentionally, because they hate Russians, and Ukraine was always being set up to be an anti-Russian machine to destabilize Russia. So bottom line, I shared this. Guess what happened? This is an NBC News story. German TV shows Nazi symbols on helmets of Ukraine soldiers. Guess what happened? I was locked out of my YouTube account. I mean, I was allowed to access my Facebook account, but I wasn't allowed to live stream or post for 90 days. I was locked out of my Twitter account for a certain, and I had shared these pictures of Ukrainian soldiers with swastikas all over them. And all of this Ukrainian iconography of swastikas and Nazi stuff, which is pretty much normal. And as a result, I got censored. And I was like, why would you censor me? You didn't censor NBC News? I didn't write this article. I shared a BBC documentary that was done about the neo-Nazis in Ukraine. All that stuff, I got censored. I shared honest stuff from mainstream media. Why? Because it was inconvenient for the powers that be, for people to expose them and their evil dealings. And if the American people, as I always say, if the American people knew the truth about their country's foreign policy, they'd surely reject it. So they have to censor. Again, so I'm against censorship, whether I agree with it or not. If somebody wanted to put something up, a website that said Garland Nixon is a fool, there are no Nazis in Ukraine, and here's why, I would encourage that. I wouldn't want to censor that. You got a right to say that. I got the right to say this. You got a right to say that, right? That ain't the way it works. But during COVID, during Ukraine, started all that censorship everywhere. I opposed it then, and I oppose it now, because I don't oppose it based on what's being, I don't oppose it because they're saying something I agree with or disagree with. I oppose it because, as a foundation, I oppose censorship. I don't care if the group that I agree with wants to censor somebody. I say, you're wrong. If the group that disagrees with me and my whoever's want to censor it, I say, you're wrong. Let people say what they want to say. Let people say, look, there has been some court rulings to address certain things that are not protected by the Fifth Amendment, the First Amendment, you know, fighting words, calling people certain names, yelling fire in a crowded theater for safety. So there's certain things that have been addressed by the court that the court say you can't say that. Okay, fair enough. Whether I enjoy like that or not, whatever the case may be, that is what it is. And I respect that that is where we are. But as for all of the rest of it, I oppose censorship. And now that I found out that Jimmy Trump, and here's the thing about it. You know, Trump and the Republicans during the Ukraine and this COVID, again, this is what we get, the same thing every time. They said, oh, we're opposed to censorship. You should be able to say whatever you want about COVID. Okay, I agree with the Trumpers that said that. And then Ukraine, and a lot of them were like, well, you should be able to say whatever you want about Ukraine and the Nazis in Ukraine. And I say, yes, I agree with you. You should be able to. Now, when people are opposed to Zionism and genocide, and people say, I don't, now what happens? The Trump people do the same exact thing that they decried before. Oh, you should be able to say this and that. Okay, I'm opposed to genocide. You can't say that about Israel. You can't say that. So what happens? No matter who's in, you just get a different flavor of censorship. Would you prefer butterscotch censorship? Would you prefer a strawberry vanilla censorship? No matter, whenever the powers that be are in, they're always going to find a reason to censor you because of ideologically something that aligns with them. Now, the one thing about I'll say about Israel is and Zionism is that's something both parties will agree on. I'll tell you this one thing. Both parties will come together for censorship on that. There will be no distance between the two parties when it comes to censorship for Zionism and genocide and Israel and war. They're all down with that for the most part. But when it comes to other things, they'll fight. And I think that we, as people who hopefully have some level of consistent values, which I would be fooling myself if I thought that were true, but one can dream, can't one? We, to demonstrate consistent values, should say, I'm not a who person. It's not about who's being censored or who's doing the censoring. I'm a what person. I disagree with this. Let me add this regarding something else. Again, something I'll get on. Layoffs. When DOGE came out and it's like, yes, we're laying off all these government employees and all these Republicans like, yay, they're worthless government employees. I said, I absolutely disagree with that. And that's an abominable thing, a horrible, unthinkable thing to be laying off working class people. They were like, we've got to save money. I'm like, oh, that's a lie. Because I don't care how much you save from laying off federal employees, you will increase the Pentagon budget by way more than that. Well, they ended up claiming they saved 50 or 60 billion, which they didn't, by firing government employees. And they increased the Pentagon budget by 150 billion, which was minimum three times as much as they, quote, saved by laying. So I oppose that because my position is, as I consider myself a lefty, left-leaning person means I'm in favor of organized labor. I'm in favor of labor. I'm in favor of working class people. I advocate for the working class, first and foremost, class-based politics. And because I advocate for the working class, anytime somebody's coming down on the workers, I come down on the side of the workers. Now, so I completely oppose DOGE, but let me go back further. People may remember I had on my show the county executive for Montgomery County. And we had a discussion because at the time, the Montgomery County Council, and to his credit, he was in opposition to it. The Montgomery County Council at the time had said, well, we're going to fire all of these people if they don't get the jab. And the county executive was on here having that discussion, right? And, you know, needless to say, I was strongly opposed to that. And if somebody says why, I'd say, you don't have to ask me why. Why? My dad was a longshoreman. My dad was in a union. And because he was a longshoreman in a union, he had good benefits and made a decent living. And I believe in unions and organized labor. And I believe in supporting the working class. And I'm opposed to layoffs. Now, during COVID, what happened? The layoff, if you don't have a job, you're going to get laid off. I mean, if you don't get the jab, you're going to be laid off. I opposed it for a number of reasons. But 7 to 9 million people, did you know that, were either lost their jobs, forced to quit, fired, whatever, because they wouldn't get the jab in the U.S. 7 to 9 million. I'm 100% opposed to that. 100%. And as I looked at the data came in, as the science came in, the more the science came in about the jab, the more I was opposed to it. No, I couldn't be more opposed to it, but it cemented my position that it wasn't a legitimate argument that somehow laying off these people would somehow, what they say, stop the curve in 2 weeks or something, whatever they said. No. It never came about that the things that we were told were going to happen and never really happened. And in the end, my position was, I would believe, vindicated. But here's my point. During COVID, when the government says we got to lay off people because they won't do X, I said, I'm opposed to that. I'm standing up for the workers. We got to stand up with the workers. No workers should be laid off. When Trump and his people came in, oh, we got to lay off federal workers to save money. I said, I'm opposed to that. We must not. I am coming down on the side of the working class. I believe, and I know a lot of other people like this, and this is what I believe in, a consistent set of principles, not just values, but principles. One of my principles is I stand for the working class. I believe in class politics, stand for the working class. Another one of my principles is I believe in the First Amendment and I oppose censorship. You know, a lot of people don't know this, so I'll tell this story. You know, I used to be, as people know, I was with the ACLU. I don't know if I ever told this story, or maybe I never told it. I'm going to tell it. And let me put out the number, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. But I'll tell this, people are like, oh, you used to be on the board. Why'd you leave? Okay. So I started, I loved the ACLU, and then I ended up on the board of directors in Maryland, and then ultimately the National Board of Directors, and I enjoyed it. It was a powerful organization. Last year, might have been 2022, somewhere around that, 21, 22, that I was on. I think the ACLU took in $300 million that year. They had a lot of money, a lot of power. We could do a lot of things that I felt were good. But why did I resign in protest? I'll make this clear. When they mandated the jab, I said, the ACLU, National Legal Director, wrote a op-ed for the New York Times. And in that op-ed, he says, oh, not only is the mandates for the jab, not only is that, does that not hurt your civil rights, it helps your civil rights, and it's safe and effective. And I sent a letter. I said, I got to quit. And they said, why? I said, well, here's the bottom line. I'm a person. This is a legal organization, right? We should dot our I's and cross our T's. I went on the Pfizer website and I said, on the Pfizer website right now, it says, is this jab safe? Or I've got a caller, give me 1 second and I'll finish in about 30 seconds. And this is why I quit. It said, is the jab safe? And Pfizer's answer under frequently asked questions was, Pfizer's answer was, we are still gathering data to determine the long-term safety of the jab, right? Okay. Which is not an unreasonable thing to say. It's what I would expect Pfizer to say. But my position was this. If the maker of the jab says, I'm still determining if it's safe long term, a legal organization can't write something that says it's safe. You can't write that. It's safe and effective. For all you know, 5 years from now, Pfizer could say, well, we've examined the data, and after 5 years, both of your arms fall off. We don't know that could happen, but we're writing it safe. Do I want somebody to say, hey, what'd you make your decision on? Well, the ACLU said it was safe. So once they said it was safe, I went with that. No, you should say, according to this, you can take the position you want. That's not a position I would take, but the ACLU as an organization has a right to take a position, but you don't have a right to say it's safe if the person that makes it says we're still gathering data to determine if it was safe. And at that point, I started to feel, for a number of reasons, that the ACLU was just becoming an extension of a political party. They were getting so much money from so many people that I felt were bad news that I'm like, maybe perhaps it's time for me to walk away. And that's what I did. Okay, here's what we're going to do. The number is 202-588-0893. When you call in, make sure that you hold the phone up to your ear. Don't set the phone down because we have a 10-second delay. And then I'll say, next caller, and you won't hear me for 10 seconds. And then we'll move on to the next caller. So make sure you hold the phone to your ear while you're on hold. We got two callers, 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Jeff Garland.
All right, great to hear from you, Jeff. What's happening?
Hey, man, I've been listening to you for a long time, but, dude, you got a one-hour show, man. You speak for a whole half hour. You ain't going to get that many other interesting input. But anyway, I digress. Good show, good topic. I wanted to clarify something about what Jimmy Kimmel said because I looked at that in those clips over and over several times. Mm-hmm. He only mentioned Charlie Kirk in passing. He basically had nothing really controversial to say. Yes, he got censored, and it's horrible that that's happening like that, especially with the commissioner, the chairman of the FCC coming out, you know, all biased. I mean, just coming out like some kind of dictator. This is going to come back and bite these guys. But anyway, I'm not going to say much, man, but I've been waiting to say this for a long time. How do you feel about Tulsi Gabbard now, man? You know, you really tooted her horn quite a bit back during the election. And I remember, you know, you come from an independent background, and I kind of understand that. But now Tulsi Gabbard is all in with the MAGA crowd. So what do you think?
I'll put it like this. What I thought was great about Tulsi Gabbard back in the day is she was saying a lot of anti-war stuff. And as we see in so many other instances, she got into the machine and she's just part of the machine. That's all it is. She's just part of the political machine and part of the political establishment, just like the whole rest of that bunch. And she won't say no more than she's allowed to say or do no more than she's allowed to do.
Yeah, I think this is a real hypocritical bunch, man. And I just think that we just got to do better. And I'm going to shut up and pass the dice. Thanks for letting me share. Have a good weekend and a wonderful week as well.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate the call. Next caller, you're on the air. And let me say this. I read and listened to what Jimmy Kimmel said. And the worst I could say is, maybe it was distasteful. That's the worst I could say. But I'll say this, if it was 100 times worse, I would not be in favor of throwing them off the air. I would not be in favor. I am never in favor of censorship, because if somebody didn't like what Jimmy Kimmel said, they just could change the channel. Nobody had a gun to your head saying you got to watch Jimmy Kimmel. I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. So guess what? I wasn't offended by it. And I wouldn't be offended by it if I was watching it. I'm always going to oppose censorship by the government at all points and under all circumstances. I believe this. Well, not just believe it. This is the way it is. The First Amendment is specifically designed to protect unpopular speech. Unpopular speech. So if someone says something that is unpopular, whatever it is, no matter who it's unpopular with, that's specifically what the First Amendment is supposed to protect. That has not been the case. It wasn't the case during COVID. It hasn't been the case during the Ukraine war. It hasn't been now that the whole Zionist craziness is going on. It's not the case. Simply, whoever's in power censors the other side and makes an excuse for it. And I always agree with it. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is the biggest laughable joke that I ever seen right now. Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel. Now that the censorship is going from the right is doing it right now, now everybody is whining and crying. But when the left did council culture first, then it was okay. This is the biggest laughable joke that I ever say. This is distracting. The midterm elections are coming up right now. Instead of people worried about a multi-billionaire or billionaire Jimmy Kimmel, I'm quite sure that he's going to probably get another gig or do what other people has done when they lost the when they lost their show, they go, or what, they do podcasts and stuff and make more and more money off of that. So to feel sorry for a multimillionaire getting the same thing happen when the Democrats was in charge and they did the same thing, again, it's a distraction. The midterm election is coming up right now. People should be worried about who they're going to vote for, because the Republicans right now is making the same mistake that the Democrats has made. They're going too far, and then they want to get voted out of office. Then they're going to start whining and crying. This is a good opportunity for a third party to come up and pick up the slack right now, because the Democrats and the Republicans are full of it right now. Are you worried about? Ain't you worried they come? They might get you next time?
Nope. I ain't worried about it because you forgot. I studied then. So from the perspective of me, if they tell me you can't be on the air anymore, I'll say you just said the perfect thing. You're absolutely right. I can't be on the air anymore. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not. That's reality. In fact, it would almost be expected. Look, during COVID, it was a whole lot of people wanted to throw me off the air because I was questioning it. Oh, and then look, I went through 4 years of saying, you know, this Russiagate foolishness is none of it's true. And it was like, you wait, Garland, Mueller's going to get Trump. I'm like, Mueller's not going to get Trump. Well, here's what I said during COVID. I mean, during the whole Russiagate thing, I said, if you think that Donald Trump, after giving them all those tax breaks for billions and billions of dollars for the rich people, the corporations, billions and trillions of dollars going to the military industrial complex. I said, if you think that Donald Trump is going to jail for anything, you don't understand how the system works. Do you remember me saying that over and over again?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Do you remember people just laughing it off?
Oh, he's going to get him this time. He's going to jail. I'm like, oh, yeah. I said, the man gave him their money. Ain't nothing going to happen to him. You're living in a dream world. They're faking you out. But, oh, no, Mueller's going to get him. Oh, now they're going to get him in Atlanta. No, it's New York they're going to get him. No, he got back in the presidency. He gave him their money, and he's giving it to him again.
You see, people don't understand that because we keep playing the Democrats versus Republican Party game. They say that these parties really care about you. It's a laughable joke. You know, you get big corporations that own both of those parties, and they're going to do whatever they do, whatever those bosses tell them to do, whatever those donors tell them to do, they're going to do exactly, and they could care less. You go whine and you cry all you want. Unless you vote these hypocrites out of office, nothing is going to change. But like I said, Garland, this is just a distraction. This is a joke. People, the midterm elections are coming up. You better come on the public airways and tell these elected officials what you expect for them to do. And if they don't want to do it, then you just simply kick them out of office. That's what you better
before you go,
doing.
I'll say one last thing. Don't waste your time because they'll tell you they're going to do it. Oh, yes. Yeah, no problem. Mike, what? You want us to do this? Sure. Then when they get in office, they're going to do the same thing. They don't mind lying. Thanks a lot. 202-588-0893. That's right. Oh, just ask them. Senator so-and-so, if we elect you, will you do what we want? By all means, you can trust me. Then as soon as they get in, they can't stand you. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, Garland? It's Max calling.
I'm all ears, brother. What's happening, Max?
Man, just watching, you know, everything fall to pieces, you know, rightfully as I predicted. So what do you think? Like, I think what happened to Charlie Kirk was terrible. I condemn it. But I will say, the woman who spoke before you, as much as she says things that sometimes I want to, like, interject, and I wish I could debate her, too, she's right, man. Like, they're trying to make a martyr out of this man. And the funny dichotomy about this is, right, is when the left does something wrong, it's the left's fault. But then when the right does something bad, the vice versa way, all the right-wing media people, we're not, like, coming together. They say he's a leftist or is a Fed direction or Vance Balter was actually a commie working for Tim Walz as a hitman. So, you know, it feels like the Republican Party, it's like the Democrats, sure, are shameless, but the Republicans seem like, I think they're winning the shameless game. I think they're just going to capitalize on this to give Trump more power and their establishment more power.
Well, look, who was it that said never let something go to waste or never let a tragedy go to waste? Or was that the shock doctrine? There was a book written about it. Basically, in a nutshell, anytime something big happens, the people with power find a way to exploit it. If a friggin' comet hit California tomorrow and killed 1 million people, the government would find a way to utilize that. Whoever was in power would say, well, now that that comet has hit California and killed 1 million people, we got to crack down on those that are, they would always. So the reality is the people in power, anytime there's some tragic circumstance or some circumstance over the top, the people in power will find a way to exploit it, to expand their power over us, to pound us differently, more further into the ground, and then also to money launder somewhere to their friend. Well, we've got to have more security, so I got to give my buddy Joe here, his corporation's got to get a $1 billion contract to protect people even more. It's all a fraud, man, in my opinion. So, you know, that's my thoughts anyway. Max, you get the final word before we jump to the next caller.
All right. So in regards to, you were talking about Tucker Carlson last week, you say, like, you know, he says a lot of things that people don't like, but he's a nice guy. At what point can you be a nice guy but say extremely evil things? And I'll give you a quick example of what I factually know about Tucker Carlson. During Trump's plot to overturn the 2020 election, Tucker Carlson posted the State Farm Arena video about the two poll workers, Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss. He accused them of fraud. Those women received racist death threats. And to this day, people like Tucker and Rudy Giuliani, who had to pay a defamation suit to those women, stand on those conspiracies. At what point does Tucker Carlson, with his goofy laugh, still spew evil hatred that almost got two black women slaughtered by radicals in Georgia?
Well, let me give you an example. I have heard it said from people who I know people who have met and knew Bill Clinton. If you look into Bill Clinton's presidency and some of the crap he did, it was pretty horrible. But I've known people, and everybody I've known that said that Bill Clinton, they say, if you get in the room with Bill Clinton, you got to like him. If you hang around Bill Clinton, if you talk to him, you got to like him. Now, if you look at the treachery that he was involved in, yeah, it was bad news. In a number of reasons, some of it, much of the neoliberal crap put us in a bad position we're in today. But if you're in a room with him, you're going to like him. There are people in this world that in the macro, if you look at the wholeness of their work and existence, you would say they are doing bad things. They've done bad things. I don't agree with their morals. I don't agree with a lot of stuff. But if you sit down and talk with them, you'll say, you know what? When you sit in a room with this person and talk to them, they seem okay. So that's my feelings about it. I mean, that's the best I can put it, Max.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
next call, Leon. Go ahead. You had something else?
No, I was going to say, I get it. I guess I would like personally have more opportunities to argue with these people and really, you know, see what I could, like, if I could really hold them to one point and see where they would go and see if they would own up to, like, honesty or not. You know, that's all.
Dude, I think I would look, like to- man, let me tell you something. Trying to argue with some of these political people is like trying to hold a grease deal, buddy. Slip out of your fingers constantly. That's who they are. Oh, that's what they're good at. Next caller. You're on air. What's your name? Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Alexander Donnell, Kensington.
All right. What's happening?
I'm really talking about socialism, because we just said who got assassinated. Like, he was assassinated, correct?
Charlie Kirk? Yes.
Charlie Kirk, yes. Okay, well, he might reflect socialism from a white Protestant view of socialism. But meanwhile, I'm pretty sure Bernie Sanders was already there. And what happened to him?
I don't think he reflected socialism at all. In fact, I would add that he argued that he was a vehemently anti-socialist.
Kirk was a vehement.
But what about Bernie? Yeah, Bernie's he's a DSA, Democratic Socialist.
Yeah, but he's not a real socialist, and neither
exactly.
was Charlie
I agree.
Kirk. But Bernie was more a socialist than Charlie Kirk, correct?
But to me, Bernie is just another piece of the system. In fact, I would argue
Thank
this,
you.
Bernie
so
is
now
the worst part of the system.
How do we vote for an independent party when they're both bought out by parties like Bernie Sanders and Charlie Kirk? Where is there an independent party?
Oh, I don't know. There are people that argue that, you know, you can't vote for one of the parties, that the parties that you'd have to go at. Look, there are people that argue that you'd have to vote for an independent, and there are people that would argue that you can't vote your way out of this. So I don't know that eventually there'll just be some revolution or something.
And we're all trapped in this game all over again, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Well, we're looking for a third party.
Yeah, I'd be happy with a second right now because I see. Yeah. Look, you know what? When people say the left wing or the right wing, when they're talking about these two parties, I say, look, if a man puts on his left shoe and his right shoe, they're still on the same man and he's walking in the same direction. You know, so what difference do I mean what shoe it is? Huh?
You know what Muhammad Ali always said?
What's that?
It doesn't matter which shoe the rock is in your foot. It's not the mountain. It's the rock in your shoe. It's not
all right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate the call. We got room for another call or two. The number's 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Well, that's a strange name. Call back. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
I think it is. It is.
Okay, I just wanted to say I hear the conversation, but those things that Bernie offered would look real good right now, like free college, cut the mm-hmm. defense fund, free housing if you can't afford it, free medical care, free daycare for the babies. I'll take them programs right now.
That's why I was a big Bernie supporter,
and I still am, because he's the only one still out there making any noise right now. But
well, let
now,
me ask you something real quick then
him.
About Bernie. I'll ask you something real quick about Bernie. I was 100%, but then when Bernie lost, he was like, "Hey, we got to support Hillary Clinton," and I'm like, "But she's against everything I stand for." To me, Bernie said everything right, and I agreed with him. But when they shafted him, when they robbed him blind, he still tried to get us to sheepdog us back into the same crooked system that robbed him, and I lost respect for him. Go ahead.
Exactly, I now understand. But Bernie just didn't want to stir the pot. He just wanted to move along. But even Donna Brazile, who's trying to take Eleanor Holmes Norton's job, said we stole it from Bernie. So he just a good man. I'll give him that. But now you were touching on that coronavirus, that vaccine. Right mm-hmm. now, they are doing congressional hearings right now on the side effects from that vaccine. Number one, blood clots. And mm-hmm. this is factual true, that the three side effects that people have been suffering with the most, and they're trying to keep it quiet, is strokes, heart attacks, and number one, blood clots. So what did we think fascism was when you were forced to take that shot or lose your livelihood? That is fascism. But we have made this word fascism a cliche word. That ain't no damn cliche word like by any means necessary. Fascism, we need to understand the definition of that word because we're really in it right now.
You know, I'll say this. During the COVID nightmare, as it were, there were many people who had a lot of concerns who felt as though there had not been enough testing because they did what was called, Operation Warp Speed. So they pushed the COVID vaccine down like 10 times faster than normal. Normally it's like years and years they have to test it. Instead, they tested a few months and threw it out there. And a lot of people were, like me included, were like, hey, you know, I don't know if that's safe. Maybe we need more and we need to see. If you remember, we said we want to see the data from the trials. And they said, we'll release it in 75 exactly. years. And then we got real suspicious, like 75, what are you talking about, right? And I personally know more than one person that have had clearly effects from it. And I think that it was those of us who questioned it had a right to question it. And in hindsight, I think we were right. And now we don't know what's going on, but we should have had that opportunity before they said somebody. It's one thing if they say you can take it if you want or not, but you know, to say you're going to lose your job or you whatever terrible things are going to happen when, in fact, they hadn't properly tested it. It's clear now. And now there are side effects showing up that are some pretty bad. I'm with you. I think I was I agree. I think when you force people to do things and you have not properly vetted whatever it is you're forcing them to do, I agree with you. I felt as though that was a form of fascism, depending on how you define it.
And even deeper right now, brother, There are 90-year-old women who haven't had sex for over 50 years that took that shot are coming up HIV positive. And it's all over the internet. Fauci gave you AIDS. It's all over the internet. And not HIV. They're coming up AIDS positive.
Well, to be frank, I don't have any information on that. So I haven't seen that. I don't know that. But, you know, I can only comment on what I know or what I've seen. And that I don't have any information on that. So I cannot, you know, say, OK, that's factual or anything like that. But, you know, I'll put it to you like this. I always give out my email address, which is garlandin@gmail.com. And if somebody, if you want to make that claim, feel free to send me the documentation to garlandin@gmail.com. But without documentation, my statements are more general rather than something specific that I can't necessarily corroborate. All right. Thanks a lot. Do we have time for one more call? We might. OK, yeah, let's go one more call. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
T-Bird from Upper Marlboro. How you doing?
I'm doing great, T-Bird. What's happening, man?
Not too much. I was listening to you, and it came to me. You know, I've been around for a while. But if people remember back during the Reagan years, they got rid of the Fairness Doctrine in broadcasting. And things have been going down. At that time, they went down because we had a lot of things. The Fairness Doctrine made sure that the common man had somebody who could stand up, the government, by the way, who could stand up to big money. After that went away, it was awful. I mean, big agriculture sued, for example, Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey, if it was anybody else, or if it was the current people who give in to everything Trump does, Oprah Winfrey fought it and won. But a lot of other people, including banks and everything else, were able to get away with a lot of stuff. You were talking about COVID. I will tell you one thing about the vaccines. One company that, out of three big companies, is Pfizer. I happen to know Pfizer made $100 billion from $1,700 a shot from the government for each COVID shot. They're not going to bring a lot of information or let the public know that, because just like we did not fight World War II for Jewish liberation, we're not fighting this thing except for the profits and things that affect people. Things that affect people are things that need to come out. If you want to get people to do something, you have to show them how it affects them. If you want to get people to go against the stuff happening in Palestine or any place else, you can't talk about how awful it is. Because all sorts of awful things happen, and if it didn't affect these other countries, then these countries would not have gotten into World War II, the Civil War, anything else, if it doesn't affect them. And I'm saying that we live in the United States, and we're getting more and more controlled by the rich as we go on. And there is one party who has and continues to control this country, and that's the rich. And they now control the media, and they now control with a lot of other things and a lot of money, just like AIPAC, big agriculture and big pharmaceutical companies said, we're going to we're going to put a lot of money out there, and anybody who goes against us is going to have something bad happen to them. Now, Rand Paul found these things from the emails of Dr. Fauci. I mean, how come we didn't know that in the first place? I mean, it just is, we live in the United States. The censorship is now by big business or rich folks, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it's getting worse. And we're spending all our money to help people, not only in Israel, but all over the world, with our money and our industrial, military-industrial complex. We're helping to do a lot of things because we will not talk. We knew, a lot of people believe, oh, they're not going to do this. You got to fight these days, whatever, or something. If you don't have information, if you can't communicate, if you get censored, then you are going to be screwed. And that's what United States citizens are at the moment, screwed. And that's my belief anyway.
Well, thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. Another great call, T-Bird. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. We'll get ready to jump off. And of course, you know, coming up next is the absolutely fantastic, brilliant, and very, very talented Robin Holden, with her music. So don't change the dial. Now, if you know anything about me, which you probably know, me and my main man, Kalia, we both love music and we're both househeads. Now, last week I went back to the 1980s, but this week I'm coming back up. We got a very nice, Oscar P, I believe, house music jam. Let's go. I'm out.
Speak to you. Zulu, Wasa, Yoruba, Swana, Zimba, Tutsi, Rungu, Lamba, Mada, Mende, Zambo, Bana, Shamba, Bamana, Liko, Lembe, San, Masai, Cuba, Africa, Africa, the drums speak to you. Time and space, the drum speaks to you.
of Cuba, Santo Domingo, Puerto Rico, Jamaica. The drum speaks to you, and the drum says, Africa, Africa. The drum speaks to you. Zulu, Wasa, Yoruba, Swana, Zimba, Tutsi, Rungu, Lamba, Mada, Mende, Zambo, Bana, Shamba, Bamana, Liko, Lembe, San, Masai, Cuba, Africa, Africa, the drums speak to you.